Jason, you wrote before the session, watch what DeSantis does, not what he says. And I think you were writing that kind of with an eye to his potential presidential candidacy. How do you think he navigated this session?
He clearly got everything he wanted. And some of that was alluding to the fact that records that we tend to get through public records requests after session tend to show the governor works on things that he doesn't really talk about publicly. So part of what I was alluding to then is we had found records from previous sessions where he had tried to help a for-profit developer get some legislation passed that would have made it easier for that developer to turn low-income apartments into market-rate apartments. There's also some emails that showed that they had helped Disney get some carve-outs from some laws. This was obviously before Disney became persona non grata in the governor's office. So, you know, some of this will still come out in the coming weeks and months as we pull back records from this session that just ended. But one of the places that I think became clear is there was a real effort, not just to give the governor all those sort of socially conservative cultural war policy wins that he wanted, like banning abortion, like incursion into control over state universities, that sort of thing. There was a real effort to eliminate potential obstacles in his way as he runs for president. The most obvious example of this was they rewrote the law to allow him to run for president without resigning. But they also passed this just blanket public records exemption that will allow the DeSantis administration to hide most of its travel records, most of its meeting records, or many of its meeting records at the governor's office. And sure enough, right as that legislation was passing, one of the national political outlets, it might have been the New York Times, reported that the governor's office was already planning a series of meetings with presidential donors at the governor's mansion. And right as that's happening, this bill passes that allows the governor's office to hide records about who he's meeting with at the governor's mansion. And you've seen other things like this, like they budgeted a lot more money for executive administration in the governor's office. And they gave him at the very last minute, there was a reference earlier to the sprinkle list where they just sort of shower a bunch of things that nobody's seen before into the budget. One of those things was an extra $1 million for the governor to hand out raises to his key staffers and stuff. And that's a lot about keeping on key personnel to keep that office running the way he wants it while he runs for president. So, you know, we haven't seen the governor's direct fingerprints on some of this stuff yet because he is not out there talking about this stuff. But I suspect what we will learn in the coming weeks and months is that the governor really did push the legislature to help clear the way for him to run for president while still being governor in a way that minimizes the sort of public scrutiny that you might expect to come with something like that.
Lynn, what are you going to be paying attention to in the next few weeks as the dust settles from the session?
I'm really going to be looking at the impact of some of this education legislation. I am very curious to see how school districts begin to handle having to share portions of their 1 cent sales tax for school facilities funding with charter schools. This is something that the charters have asked for years. They finally got it. But a lot of this money had been previously obligated to pay for basically loans that the districts took out, right? And so how is this going to unroll? I'm really curious to see what the school districts do. I'm going to be watching really heavily how a lot of this education policy sort of comes out, especially in higher education. We're heading into the fall semester, not the summer, but in the fall, the public colleges and universities are really going to start feeling some of the impacts of this legislation. I wouldn't be surprised to see probably some classes get canceled, definitely some upstate students, because again, the professors are leaving. We do know that. And it's across the board at all of the state's public universities especially. And so throughout the summer, I think you're going to start seeing more and more of those stories. You're going to hear, you know, more and more of those tales as we get closer to the start of a new school year.
And William, what's on your radar in the next few weeks and months as the session shakes out?
Well, Ron DeSantis is almost certain to announce a run for president later this month or next month. As Jason mentioned, the legislature did him some nice favors in anticipation of that. He can remain governor for another 2 years, even if he loses, is one. And they passed public records exemptions to help prevent the kind of stories that you often see where a political candidate who's in a public office already uses public funds for travel or other activities that also benefit his campaign. That's the kind of stories that they don't want to see, and limiting access to records about his travel and his activities at the mansion will go a long way toward preventing that. The other thing that I frankly want to watch is something that Lynn's been talking about, and that is the cost of this universal voucher expansion program. As she mentioned, the estimates of the cost of that vary over a range of several orders of magnitude. Mm-hmm. But in any case, what I understand is that what the legislature has put into the budget for that is about $2 billion. And the estimates at the lower end of the range are based on the assumption that if you offer parents who now are paying for their children's private school education, if you offer them free money, they won't take it. So we'll sort of have to see how that plays out and see what effect that has on the state's education budget.